This is ESPN Radio.
Pour yourself an apple juice and get ready. It is hour number three here in Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. I'm still like taking all that in, Chris, because I feel like for everybody here, and getting to ask Rick Ross about it, particularly satisfying. But we all got a decision to make when we walk onto the plane here. Rick Ross made it abundantly clear here, kind of like myself. Do I want to go on there and necessarily have a long conversation? No. But if you're a little old lady, 9 out of 10 times, I'm probably going to make that exception.
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to give her the courtesy. But for all others, yeah, you're not trying to have no parts of that conversation. That's one of those, put one of those blindfolds on. You cut your do not disturb on or whatever, and you're like, listen, don't bother me. I'm going to sleep. That's the way that Rick Ross flies, apparently with something next to him, and he gets him an apple juice.
See, now, and we've got Book It coming up here shortly. We're going to talk to Lewis Riddick in a little bit here. We've got plenty to get into. Kyrie Irving still talking crazy. We will get you his IG live here in just a second. But, Chris, I do have to ask you, I think these are two important questions that especially every big person has to consider while they're traveling here. One, where are you at on people reclining during the flight on an airplane?
I'm okay with it just because I have to recline in order to fit in the seat. They really don't make the airplanes 4, 6, 8, 300 plus. So because it's uncomfortable otherwise, I got to be cool with other people reclining because that's something that I absolutely have to do. So as annoying as it may seem when the person in front of you reclines, like for me, like it's really no choice. Like it's out of necessity. So I got to be cool with them doing it because I got to do it.
Yeah, you know what, Chris, that awareness is important because if it were a person that is a third your size, I got questions all of a sudden here. But I'm going to look and I see Chris Canty rolling and I'm saying, done, that's fine. Now, this is the real kicker.
All right.
If you are the person that is in charge of the window, you are sitting at the window seat here and it's an early morning flight, the sun's up, but everyone's trying to sleep here. Do you believe it is your responsibility to keep that window closed for everyone else's well-being?
Yeah, not only do I believe in that, but even if I'm not sitting in the window seat, I'm going to insist that the person that I'm sitting next to that's in that window seat close the window shade. Yeah, that's the thing. I have no problem, you know, taking liberties and letting my opinion be known in terms of just putting that window shade down. Because that's a problem. Like, you're a weirdo if you want to keep the window shade open and you're talking about an early morning flight. That just doesn't make any sense.
Thank you. We talk about in all of this and the conversation we're about to have with Kyrie Irving, that is peak selfishness. If it is early morning and you want to see the sunrise, you want to look over on that and inconvenience everybody else just because I paid the money for the window seat. Nah, you're selfish and clearly you have never been a part of a team. Now that we've gotten that settled here, and I know, and I'm reminded that I got a great teammate here in Chris Canty, let's try and get to the bottom of how Brooklyn Nets players have to be feeling waking up this morning. Because Kyrie Irving, who last time on Dragon Ball Z, when we checked in yesterday, according to a report over at The Athletic, claimed to want to be a voice for the voiceless. We can understand how funny that sounded considering we hadn't heard from him. We did last night. Kyrie Irving, the Nets point guard, went on to Instagram Live and talked about the vaccine, his future, and more with the Brooklyn Nets.
I had to stop running away from using my voice and using my platform to, speak on what's true and what's mine. You know, nobody's going to hijack my voice. Nobody's going to take the power away from me that I have for speaking on these things, you know, and don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that, you know, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate or staying unvaccinated. Don't believe any of that, man. Like really be aware of what's being said before I even get a chance to be on the podium and speak for myself. You know what I'm saying? Like all these people saying all these things about what's going on with me and it's just not true. Pay attention to what's going on out in the real world. You know, people are losing their jobs to these mandates. People are having to make choices with their own lives, which I respect. You know, and I don't want to sit here and play on people's emotions either. Just use logic. You know, what would you do? You know, if you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I mean, couple
there's so much to unpack. There's so much that he said there. Where do we even start?
Chris, I think the first place I want to start, and I heard Kendrick Perkins say this on First Take today, because Kyrie Irving mentioned people having to make choices with their lives. A reminder, some people haven't gotten to. Some people have had that choice taken away from them by unvaccinated folks heading to the hospital here, and now their lives are no longer talked about because of the choices that other people made in this spot. So that's point number one in that. I have empathy for people losing their jobs, but you got to keep this in perspective based on where we are and where we've been. And number two, for Kyrie Irving to say, while I haven't had the chance to speak in front of the podium, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? There is one person that controls that outflow of information. So to claim that at this point while you are speaking and have a chance to actually material address that, no. I mean, there's a lot of things that I can excuse in Kyrie Irving based on good intentions. This isn't one of them because this is just willfully disregarding anything resembling some sort of sense.
Oh, no doubt. And to echo a point that you just made, I mean, he says pay attention to what's going on out here in the real world. Well, you do realize 700,000 people have died because of this virus. Like, the real world is putting these mandates in place to try to save lives. So for you to focus on the mandate causing folks to lose their jobs is incredibly tone deaf and insensitive. And you would expect that somebody with the platform that Kyrie Irving has would have a little bit more awareness. But no, Kyrie continues to show us at every turn that he doesn't understand what the priority in this situation should be. Now, as far as hijacking his voice, nobody is taking your voice away from you. You decided that you didn't want to speak. When the media wanted to talk to you at training camp, you said you wanted them to respect your privacy. Now you hit us with, oh, I want to be a voice for the voiceless, which feels incredibly like, okay, I realize my position didn't necessarily land well with the masses. Let me try to put some spin on it. It's not about that. It's not about being a voice for the voiceless. What Kyrie Irving is trying to figure out is why the hell has he backed himself into this corner and taken this anti-vax stance? That's what it feels like right now. It feels like he's the one that doesn't really understand the reason why he's taking this position, and now he's trying to hide behind his right to choose. And nobody's disputing that. He absolutely has the right to choose, but he's backing himself into – he's trying to defend himself in his position with that argument, and meanwhile hasn't given us any – reasons as to why he actually has the view that he has and why he's taking the position that he's taken. Like, we understand the consequences that come along with this, but Kyrie Irving hasn't explained himself in terms of why he's choosing not to get vaccinated at this point in time. And that's the thing that everybody was looking for on the IG Live, and he still missed the mark, and he wants to blame everybody else, saying that he's being demonized, saying this and that. But in reality, everybody's just trying to pay attention to him to understand why he's taking this position.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. And that's just it, Chris. You're right. At every opportunity, and this isn't just Kyrie, this is a lot of people who have taken up this mantle of saying, it is my personal choice, which, yes, like, we're talking about ideas in general we all agree with. Personal choice about what you put in your body. Generally, a very good thing here. You know, not having large overreach from the bodies around you. All generally good things. But looking at the specifics of this situation, when we explain public health crisis, all the things that we know about this, and all we get on the other side is, pay attention, this is my choice, stop twisting my words. You keep looking and saying, if you're not going to give me substance soon, I am going to assume it's because there is none. And that's where we get into the territory now, where unfortunately with Kyrie, because of his platform, other people, bad actors, are going to take that, use that, and twist it into something that makes you look around and say, all right, I got to see who my allies are on this and start to ask questions about where I ended up. So we can get into plenty more on this because, again, trying to sift through the Kyrie Irving tea leaves is a four-hour-long exercise in its own right. Coming up next, though, we're going to get some exercise tonight in Major League Baseball. One of the best series of the postseason happening in this round here is the winner of the Dodgers and the Giants go on to win it all. We'll play Book It next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We will talk to Lewis Riddick, one of our great ESPN NFL front office insiders, as well as the voice of Monday Night Football in a little bit here about everything going on with the Washington football team, with the Raiders, all the above. It is a busy time, and especially for someone like Lewis, who has experience not only as a black man seeing all this, as someone who is a player in the NFL for a long time, but now in the front office, some of the places that we're seeing spots in leadership respond. I think Lewis's perspective on this is going to be especially enlightening, so we're looking forward to talking to Sweet Lou as always. But it is that time around here. It is Thursday. We got to look ahead at some of the great things that we've got coming up this weekend. Let's play a little Book It.
All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the book.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
All right, Book It is brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. For anyone new, Book It. Our producer, Shannon Penn, is going to lob us up a spicy take. If you want to heat that bad boy
you
up a little
book
bit,
it.
You shall book it after you feel good. You sound like Stephen A. Smith, and we keep
you
it moving.
You can book it.
And if you don't, you won't. We'll move on.
No, sir. No.
Shannon, we feeling good?
Oh, we're feeling right. And I'll start right with you, Mr. Golic Jr. Justin Fields will save Matt Nagy's job. You booking that?
I am not going to book that one.
Damn that.
Now, I will say, this has really tracked the right way to do that if you were going to draw up the best possible case scenario. Bad start for Justin Fields, room for growth and potential. But, Chris, I ultimately look at this and say, what happens in most of these situations with a coach limping into the season and a first-round quarterback they moved up to pick is they look at all of what happens and they say, hey, we like the potential there. We have seen before you might not be the guy to mold it.
I hear where you're going with that, but I'm going to lean toward – your position earlier when you made your statement. I got to go. I got to book this, man.
You
I got to roll with
it.
This. I got to do it, man, just because when it comes to job security as a head coach in the NFL, either you're going to sell winning or you're going to sell hope. And in the three starts that Justin Fields has made, you're 2-1. So even though you did have the ugly optics of that Cleveland Browns game where you allowed him to get sacked 19 times and 15 quarterback hits, you do have nice bounce-back wins over the Detroit Lions and over the Las Vegas Raiders. And if you get to a point where you're looking at flirting with your season win total from last year, you know, around 8 or 9 wins, I think it'd be hard to justify moving away from continuity, especially with a young quarterback, given how starved that Chicago Bears fan base is, but also given how important this is for the McCaskey family to finally find a franchise quarterback for the Bears. So you can book it. If they can do that, I believe that Justin Fields can save Matt Nagy's job.
All right, Chris, despite the loss to Texas A&M, Alabama will make the college football playoff.
Absolutely. You better believe that. Go ahead and book
Put
that.
It in the books.
You can book it.
Absolutely. Book There's it. Nothing like a loss in the regular season to refocus a Nick Saban-led Alabama team. Like, I know that they're in the SEC West. I know it's a tough road to toe, but I have no doubt that the Crimson Tide will be in the SEC title game, and it'll be Georgia standing in their way to a college football playoff. And I know that Nick Saban will find a way to be able to overcome his former protege, Kirby Smart, in that game in order to get to the CFP. So I have no doubts that Alabama will be in the college football playoff.
I'll book this as well.
Put it in the books!
I am a little nervous about anything that goes up against that Georgia defense, but looking back at that Alabama-Texas A&M game outside of the first drive, this wasn't an Alabama team that got bullied and pushed around. The biggest thing you mentioned, Chris, Nick Saban getting to do now, lighting a fire under him, this has been a heavily penalized team, tied for 115th in college football, averaging 8 penalties a game. That's got to get cleaned up because they are not the world beater they were last year that can get through all this. Now, Candy and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Wrangler, introducing ATG by Wrangler, outdoor apparel to get you there. It doesn't compromise, conform, or call it quits. ShopWrangler.com. We're playing Book It here on Candy and Golic Jr. What do we got coming up next, Shannon?
All right, let's stick with some college football. Mike, freshman Caleb Williams is Oklahoma's starting quarterback. You going to book it?
I'm going to say for this week, yeah, I'll book it.
You can book it.
Now, I don't know if Lincoln Riley's going to shut the door on Spencer Rattler. We saw him go in for a 2-point conversion in that game. We know his status is clouded around this week. although a student newspaper on campus at Oklahoma apparently was doing some snooping from on top of a building somewhere, saw Caleb Williams taking first team reps. So I'm going to go with our intrepid newspaper reporters at Oklahoma and book this one that at the very least this week he's going to be the dude.
I'm going to say we got to book this one too, man. I mean, listen.
You can book it.
Everybody clamors for the backup quarterback when the team is not living up to their expectations set on them coming into the season. And Oklahoma is no different. I mean, you saw the optics a couple of weeks ago when the fans were chanting at a home game that they wanted to see Caleb Williams. And they finally got an opportunity to do that in the Red River rivalry. Try saying that three times fast. Woo. And Caleb Williams was able to bring them back and win that football game. So yeah, I'm going to book it. They're going to ride that momentum. And there's something to be said for having some confidence in getting a guy to step in and get you to the other side of that, being down early in a rivalry game. So, yeah, I think they ride with Caleb Williams in the short term. I don't know if that's going to be for the long term, but I think they ride with him right now. He's
their
starter.
This is always the interesting part for me on this too, Chris, is it is one thing when you are going in the middle of the game and don't have time to think. That was where my first playing time came at. It's another to spend all week knowing you're the dude going up against Gary Patterson and that TCU defense when he gets the shot here. I know it's not the defenses of old there, but it could very much make it interesting. What do we got, Shannon?
All right, last and certainly not least, this will be a quick one. Chris, I'll start with you. Big game tonight, Giants and Dodgers. So, Chris, the winner of the Dodgers and Giants series will win it all. You booking that?
Yeah, I'm going to book it, man. These are two extremely talented teams, and I believe in the way that they are built, especially when you start looking at how they win baseball games. It's around pitching and then being able to come up with timely hitting. Both of them have the long ball in their arsenal. Both of them have threats throughout the order, 1-8. So, yeah, I believe that the winner of this series, it should be the favorite to win the World Series. So I'm going to book that.
I am not going to book it just because I've realized now that the maximum pain headline would be if the Astros somehow went on.
Damn,
why do you want to do that to me?
Why
do you want to do that to me?
I don't have a team in all this, Chris, and so I just operate by my sicko default and say, what's the result that could make the most people angriest? And it would be the Houston Astros after what should have been their hate tour 2 years ago, the one full of inflatable garbage cans this year somehow culminated with them winning.
I feel like you're channeling your inner Kyrie wanting all this chaos in the Major League Baseball playoffs. I don't like it. I think you're being a bad teammate right now. Knowing that I'm a Yankees fan, that you would actively root for the Houston Astros to win it. It's beside me. I don't understand it.
We're going to take some time to try and work this out during the break here. We'll remind you in the meantime, tune into the NLDS action. The Giants hosting the Dodgers beginning tonight, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up next, though, we will dive into all things going on around the NFL with Lewis Riddick. We'll do that after this word from Bank of America. Guys, it's baseball season. And you're ready to go all out here towards the finish. You ordered the essentials to make game day a success. You got jersey, power recliner, and a bigger screen. And you used your Bank of America or customized cash rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Rewards that put you toward an essential piece of the celebration. An air horn. That is essential and loud. Apply for yours, the card, not the air horn, at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation. Back with Lewis Riddick next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Candy and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty here, and we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to ESPN NFL analyst, one of the great voice of Monday Night Football, Lewis Riddick, kind enough to join us now here. Lewis, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well, and there's a lot we can touch on you with here today going on around the league, but I didn't want this to get buried because so much happened on Monday night off the field. On the field, we had an unbelievable performance from Lamar Jackson in this game, and Lewis, seeing the way Lamar got talked about this offseason, seeing a lot of the slights levied against him over the course of his career, mm-hmm. Do we think he has finally silenced any of the people that want to come up with these weird angles on him?
We've made them get a little quieter. They'll, you know, it's kind of like the trolls of the world right now. They go quiet, they go underground when they can't really put their narrative out there. And then as soon as he has some kind of hiccup or bad game, they'll come back out. But all in all, the people who know football know that he is on a nice trajectory right now as far as his evolution as an overall quarterback. And he addressed the things this offseason that he thought he needed to based off of how 2020 went. And you're seeing the results of it, man. And you're seeing the results of it without their normal stable of running backs and without him having his full wide receiver core available yet. But that's coming because they're going to get a big piece back this week, hopefully, in Rashad Bateman. And just in time against this Chargers team that's red hot as well.
Lewis, unfortunately, the headline for the National Football League this week has been the resignation of John Gruden. As a former Raider, a former member of that organization, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the fallout from it and then the leadership of the Raiders and what direction that they go moving forward. How do they move forward from here?
Yeah, Chris, I think the fallout really is it's about trust, because now all of the marginalized individuals, you know, based off sexual prep and sexual orientation, whether or not you're a minority, whether or not you're a woman, all of those people, of which both you and myself fall into one of those categories, now have a reason to second guess the trustworthiness and the credibility of people like John who are in positions of power as it relates to what are you saying to my face as opposed to what are you saying behind my back. And is that helping contribute to the lack of equality and the lack of upward mobility in the NFL in particular, since that's what we're talking about as it relates to women and minorities? When you're looking at a guy like Carl Nassib, right, who is at a place where he feels as though it's one that promotes inclusion and equality, and here's a guy who it took a lot of courage and who is being looked at as someone who's helping so many people by coming out, you know, as the first openly gay player in the NFL. To have that kind of thing explode in his face as far as, you know, that kind of news, like, no wonder he asked for a day off yesterday out there in Vegas. I mean, that's got to be a tremendous blow to the kind of trust equity that he had kind of built up along with John in particular. And I think that's really the fallout. It's the marginalized individuals who now have a reason to be even more skeptical and be even more guarded. And maybe in some ways, I don't know if this is the right word, but I think it is, be even more fearful of just how credible and how trustworthy are those people who are in decision-making positions. Because I can assure you, and we all know this, let's not be naive about it, John is not the only one who harbors those kind of feelings about those groups of people in which that he addressed in those emails that are in positions of power throughout the NFL and throughout society and in this country in particular. He's not the only one. But you know what? You don't know who they are when they conduct themselves in this way, because they won't show themselves in public. They do it behind the scenes, through emails, through private conversations. And we all know this. And me, myself, now, as a black man in the NFL, you know, doing the job that I do, and, you know, someone who has interviewed for general manager positions and what have you, and who's been a member of front offices, you sit there and you start to wonder and you start to think, what were people actually saying about me behind my back as opposed to my face? You know, you start questioning everybody and everything, and that's not a way to live. That's not a good way to live. That's not the right way to live. And for people who are in those positions of power and who have that level of influence like John has, I mean, it's shameful that that's where we're at with this, that we really are at a point where we don't know who's who and who's what, and how we can really navigate this thing going forward. I'd rather know. Just tell me that you are. Tell me that you do have these kind of feelings so I know how to make choices then based off of whether or not I need to be, you know, making a different decision to get away from you or willing to accept being around you. Just tell me who you are so I can do that. Don't hide. Just say who you are. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of what you're doing, of how you feel about things. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be two-faced. Don't tell me one thing. See, that's the fallout. And see, we could talk about this for hours and for days. So I feel sorry for the people now who have to sit there and contemplate every single decision that they make in terms of who they associate themselves with, who they put their trust into, who they really, you know, entrust with, you know, their goals and aspirations. Because they don't know if people are cutting their legs out from underneath them behind their back. At every turn, you just don't know. And that sucks, man. That sucks to the highest order, and that just tells you there's a lot of work left to be done. A lot of work. And that's very, very unfortunate, man. And I feel sorry for the people who have to deal with that.
It's a lot of people, like you said, Lewis, affected by this, and you can hear the passion, the way you talk about being affected by this. So we know this hasn't been an easy week for a lot of people on that front. We appreciate you sharing some of those very raw emotions with us here, man. But hopefully we get to talk to you again soon under some better circumstances. All right, Lewis?
Hey, it's all good. I appreciate you guys having me on. And look, I didn't mean to go on and on with it about that, but it's an important topic, Mike. I mean, you know that, Chris. You know that. Yeah. It's an important topic. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just trying to be honest, and that's honest, and that's real what I just said. So hopefully we can keep that in mind as we move forward and try and make this stuff better.
No, absolutely, Lewis. You're right. Again, as someone who has experienced the NFL, especially on all of the various levels that you have along the way in here, I think that perspective is invaluable. And it is a reminder that the league has a lot of work to do right now and a lot of eyes on them to do it. And so you're right. Hopefully we can keep the focus there. So we really appreciate you giving us some of that time today, Lou. Really do.
Thanks, Lewis.
You got it. Okay. Thanks, guys.
ESPN Monday Night Football analyst Lewis Riddick with some strong stuff there. Let's put a pin in that and stick with it when we come back from break here, because I think Lewis highlighted a couple of things in here, but it is just that the reaction from people who have to have these dealings each and every day with people around the league, that they now have even more reason to distrust, how that's already manifesting in one of the big decisions made by an NFL franchise today. Next on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. Our thanks to Lewis Riddick, one of the voices of Monday Night Football, our ESPN NFL analyst, who joined us in that last segment. And Chris, that felt very personal for Lewis as we talked about what's gone on with the Las Vegas Raiders, with John Gruden, and the leaked emails from the 650,000 that were reviewed as a part of that investigation into the Washington football team. Lewis Riddick, who was an NFL player, who worked in NFL front office, and while he's been at ESPN, has interviewed for NFL GM jobs, he seemed like he was all of a sudden starting to ask those questions about, man, was so much of my path or was part of my journey in the NFL dictated by a bunch of these people that are afraid to not let their true feelings show in public.
And you can understand him being emotional and having a vulnerable moment because, like you said, like those are the thoughts that you have. Those are the thoughts that are in the back of your mind when you're trying to be in the consideration for some of these positions higher up within these NFL teams. Like that is one of the things. The NFL does not have a great track record when it comes to diversity and inclusion in a meaningful way, especially when it comes to positions that have decision-making power with the trajectory of franchises, but also with the trajectory of the league. And so for Lewis, like, to share that moment with us and to share those thoughts with us, that was really powerful. But that's also something that's on the hearts and minds of people that operate in this industry that come from marginalized groups. So big up to Lewis Riddick for being honest about it. And I feel like this is going to spur a conversation that we need to continue to have around the NFL being more transparent when it comes to hiring practices and when it comes to actually standing by something that they publicly advocate for, which is equality for all.
Yeah, this is one of, I think, the toughest and worst parts about sports as the backdrop for all this, Chris, is because what is everyone sold? Like, it's people who grow up coming up through sports is this idea that it's some meritocracy, that you're going to be judged on your work and all these things. And that's all anyone wants. And to your point, like, this is something that, God, especially as like a white man coming up through society, I don't know what that's like to have that doubt that's all of a sudden inserted into this situation. Like, man, maybe it wasn't just my performance. Maybe it was something else. And I think in addition to like the flat out insults that we heard from John Gruden and that we assume are probably on the receiving end of those other emails and all of this, I'd have to imagine like that's the biggest thing. When we talk about why the NFL's got to address this for a number of reasons, like if you've got that kind of doubt sown to everyone in your organization now who's got to look around at the top of these things, that is so corrosive to the entire process, especially to those groups that are affected by this.
Exactly, and I think that's why D. Smith and the NFLPA are trying to put pressure on the NFL to release the rest of the documents, the rest of the findings from the Washington football team investigation, just because we want to see how rampant and how pervasive these ideas, these attitudes are to minorities, to people from marginalized groups. Like, we want to know exactly how these executives in front offices with NFL teams feel about minorities, because that could explain a lot about why the NFL hasn't moved in terms of being able to hire more people in positions of power that have that background. So, yeah, I'm with you 1,000%. Like, this is one of those things that that could shine a light on some of the issues that the NFL has been trying to deal with for some time, or at least they claim to be trying to deal with for some time.
Yeah, Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, because you're right, Chris, this is going to cloud how we look at everything. It's already started. We saw earlier today the reports from Dan Graziano, our ESPN NFL insider, that the Washington football team was planning on honoring the late Sean Taylor, retiring his jersey this weekend at the Washington football team's home game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And my immediate gut reaction to that, and this is based on, again, the Washington football team, who is at the center of all this, the 650,000 emails were looked into because of what this team had done. And so they had been implicated again this week. And you see this pop up, announced on a Thursday. Like, Chris, you're getting ready to celebrate a big-time moment with your New York football Giants this weekend, celebrating a Super Bowl that you guys won. They announced this on a Thursday leading up to a game for a player that means this much to so many people. It's hard for me to not look at this as something that feels like them trying to put deodorant on this situation here, because you told us how far in advance you guys knew what was going on for your celebration. This is supposed to be someone they lost.
Yeah, Mike, the announcement from the Washington football team about honoring Sean Taylor doesn't pass the smell test. And I know that RC, our very own Ryan Clark, came out and said that they told him and several other members that happened to be alums of the football team back in late September. But when we caught the news about celebrating the Super Bowl 46 team, like, we were informed by the organization in February of this year that we would be on the field on October 17th, a Giants home game against the Rams, to celebrate that team. Like, that's how much lead time we had. The Giants fan base was notified when they decided they were going to release the tickets and the schedule later on this past spring. So it's a situation where there was plenty of runway for us to know about this and for the fan base to know about it, so everybody could make plans to be a part of the celebration. And so when it comes to something like this, when you recognize the impact that Sean Taylor had on that community, on that franchise, and on our game as a whole, it feels like something that's far too important to just clamor together in a couple of weeks, which makes me believe that this was somebody within the organization that got wind that this was going to become public in, you know, a couple of weeks down the road, and they felt like this was something that they could do to try to present some positive headlines, knowing that there'd be a lot of fallout from the release of some of those emails.
Yeah, we know there are a lot of good people inside that organization now after they've gone through and cleaned. Jason Wright, the team president, and what he's done. Certainly Ron Rivera there as the head coach. Like, they were brought in to, again, unfortunately have to be the people that answered for everything that went on, to be a part of showing the public that they are going to be this new changer. I ain't putting it on them. This is a Dan Snyder thing. This is who I need to hear from on all of this, because at the very best, if I assume it, Chris, this is ignorance and negligence in reading the room in this situation and saying, man, if we were going to plan this out in advance, this isn't the week to do it that's fair to Sean Taylor and his family. And at worst, it is a blatant PR stunt that them trying to cover this up.
Yeah, it's another example of a lack of awareness. And here's the thing with the football team. They don't get the benefit of the doubt. So with all of the speculation swirling about their motivation about putting together this celebration for Sean Taylor and retiring his number, like, you know, we're left to our own, you know, thoughts when it comes to, okay, what was the agenda for this organization? They don't get the benefit of the doubt in all of this. It doesn't pass the smell test as far as I'm concerned, but it's something that we all agree was long overdue.
Long overdue, you're right. No one deserves it more than Sean Taylor, but the way it's come about has certainly been troublesome. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, let's take a look at Thursday Night Football at TB12 and maybe three other letters that we need to mention next to his name if things keep going the way they're going.